Kama, material desires,
Tyaktva,
giving up, Sarvam,
all,
Asheshataha,
completely,
Manasa,
by the mind,
Eva,
certainly,
Indriya Grama,
the full set of senses.
Viniyamya,
regulating.
Samantataha,
from all sides.
Translation. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses of on all sides by the mind. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The yoga practitioners should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue with this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Regarding Bhakti Yoga, Rupa Goswami says, Utsaham nishaya darya tattat karma pravartanat sangat yagat sangovrite satovrite sadbir bhaktir na prasidyati. One can execute the process of Bhakti Yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in activities of goodness, Upadeshamrita. As for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal, so the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick up the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and at last Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard about of it. He became compassionate towards the small sister girl, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this, and returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Sanishchayena yoktavyo yogo nirvīna cetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamams tyaktva sarvāna śeṣataḥ manasai vindriya graman vini yamya samantataha. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanandine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Prasishtakari Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here with all of you this evening. I'll speak a few words on this particular topic, which is very important for all of us. This is a very inspired verse, because in this particular verse, Lord Sri Krishna establishes general principle of success. In fact, this principle is applicable to any area of our activity. No matter what we do, if we want to achieve success, we have to be determined. For those who are not determined, for those whose intelligence is many branches, for those who want to pursue this goal and that goal and ultimately be lazy and not pursue any other goal, any real goal, nothing could happen. So, Sri Krishna here formulates this general principle of achieving success in regard to spiritual practice. See, the whole sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is not really meant to be followed literally. The sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is mainly to discourage us from engaging in Ashtanga Yoga. Krishna is not teaching Ashtanga Yoga in this chapter. He is more or less saying, look what it means to be engaged in Ashtanga Yoga, see how difficult it is, and if you think you can try it, but if you follow my advice, then he concludes this chapter with the beautiful verse, Yoginam Atisardisham Madgatena Taratmana Sradavan Bhajate Yomam Sameyukta Momataha. The best of yogis is anyway one who always thinks about me. Ultimately, he brings Arjuna to the point of Bhakti Yoga. So, the whole chapter is not for us to follow. And one may say conveniently that this particular verse is also not for us. Because so many verses in this chapter, Krishna will say just to discourage us to follow this path. He will say, you just go to forest. You know, and who will go to forest? Nobody wants to go to forest. Moreover, there is no forest anymore. Everyone wants to go to the concrete jungle of Dubai and get some money. And so many other difficulties are there. You have to fight with your own mind constantly. You have to fight with your own laziness. You have to sit in one place and look at the tip of your nose. You know, and who will want to look at the tip of your nose? We're ready to look at TV set. That's not a problem. But to look at the tip of your nose, it's much more difficult. And Krishna explains this in detail. Basically, to prepare Arjuna for his answer to this, my dear Krishna, I cannot do this. It's easier to catch the wind than to stop the mind. Because basically, the whole point of yoga, as in Yoga Sutra, Patanjali Muni says, Yoga Vritti Niroda, the whole point of yoga is to stop the modification of the mind, to stop the activities of the mind, to make it completely still, to make it totally completely still. But who can do it? Nobody can do it. Especially in the modern day and age when there are so many causes of agitation. You know, there is so much agitation is going on and they are all agitated. And it is difficult. So when Arjuna said this to Krishna, Krishna said in approval. He said, yes, it's difficult, I know. And this is Arjuna. Arjuna was much more capable of controlling his mind than us. Weak people of Kali Yuga. He was really determined and he could control the mind. He says, no, I cannot do this. But still, despite the fact that the whole chapter should not be taken literally as for us to follow. Certain things which Krishna says this are very important for us to understand, because they are common principles of any spiritual practice. And one of these principles is here formulated, is that you have to be determined no matter what, because ultimately this is the way for us to express our sincerity. It's not that a little sparrow can dry up the ocean. No way. Little sparrow can do it for a very long time. You know, she has a little beak, and she can, you know, take a little water and take it somewhere else. And everyone will just laugh at her. In the same way, within our heart, we have a notion of material desires. Did you notice this? This ocean will never be dried up. You know, we fulfill one desire, another desire comes up. It's unlimited. It really has no limit. Aseshataha. Here, Krishna speaks this aseshataha. Aseshataha means unlimited. And one can also apply this particular word to the word commands, which means material desires. Sankalpa prabhavan commands. It is said here that sankalpa is the activity of our mind. And sankalpa basically means that we have some liking. We like something. We see something and we kind of like it. And Krishna explains here and in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that from this liking, kama comes within our heart. And kama means lust. Kama means practically unbearable desire to obtain it. You know, I like something, a little bit, I like it. And then immediately, when I concentrate my mind on this object of my liking, I develop very strong, very powerful desire to obtain this. And this is called kama.
Most of the people
don't understand English,
yeah.
Okay.
So
what shall I do? Hindi translation. You will do Hindi translation.
I'll try my best, but I don't understand. You can speak in Hindi too.
Hindi, Janta Ho,
Paramito. Hindi, how to come? Manjan.
But I already spoke half of the lecture. So translate. It will be one of other kind. So I should speak one sentence at a time. Shall I start from the beginning or what shall I do?
Middle.
Okay, yeah. It's too late. I agree with you.
Majority is English. So you can go with the same.
I can go with the same form.
Yeah, because once you there's a break, that flow goes.
Okay. If somebody needs a translation, they can sit in the corner and try to do it simultaneously. If somebody needs it. Let me explain a little bit more about this, because this is an important point. Srila Prabhupada said that anyone who practice yoga, who practice any sadhana, will meet some impediments. there will be some difficulties. There will be some problems. We can expect this. We are doomed to meet with some problems on the path. And he explains here in a few words what is the source of these problems. The source of these problems is material desires within our heart. Kama, lust. The desire to control and the desire to more or less establish oneself as God in a limited area. Every one of us has this problem. Kama. And kama is coming from lust. Lust is coming from this, from sankalpa. Sankalpa means some kind of liking which I have. And liking which we have is coming from our karma. In our previous life, we performed some actions, and these actions created certain tendencies within our heart. These tendencies are called vasanas. And vasanas means desires or likings, certain tendencies. We like this, we don't like that. Very common example. You're all Indian, and somehow or other you all like chili. And if you try to feed the same food to Russians, the Russians will never be able to understand what's good about it. They cannot take chili. Somehow or other, their liking is different. But this liking of vasanas, these tendencies, which are guiding us in this life, they're creating calm, very strong desires within. And these strong desires are pushing us left and forth, left and right. They're pushing us. And we're basically slaves of these desires. All our life we're trying to fulfill our desires, and there is no end to these desires. And when we start spiritual practice, the same desires will stand on our path. We want to go to God, but we also want to get our, materialized again. So many different desires will be there, and they will be tearing us apart. We know I want to go to God. We know that if I'm closer to God, it's better. But at the same time, I will feel very strong pushing, which will take me away from God. I want to come to God. I want to follow principles. I want to do some sadhana. But at the same time, there will be so many other forces which will take me back from God. We all want to go to God, but we also want to watch TV, isn't it? And it's not compatible. Because TV only agitates your mind. TV only contaminates your mind by different desires. What is TV? TV is a special invention to create more desires within our heart. That's the sole purpose of TV. This is why, TV is a must in every flat, because otherwise you cannot sell all this garbage which is there. TV is the best means to sell all this garbage. And it creates all the desires in a very intelligent way. There are very special ways designed by the modern civilization how to make more and more desires. And people in the modern day and age, they cannot even imagine how to live without desires. I recently was speaking in one audience, there was some 150 new people who are somewhat interested in yoga. And I told them that ultimately you have to reduce your desires. And I spoke about TV, how TV creates the desires. And they said, this is good. Otherwise, how I can live without desires? Desires make my life spicy. My life becomes meaningful if I have desire. One desire after another desire. But then, if you only fulfill your desires at the end, you may not be able to fulfill all these desires, because the desires are like ocean. There is no end to them. And nobody was able to fulfill all the desires and become happy. In fact, the more you fulfill your desires, the more miserable you become. I have a friend of mine who is a psychologist, and he consults different people. And he says that most of the people who approach him are rich people. And he says rich people have much more problems than poor people, because rich people, they have money and they can fulfill all the desires and they're still not happy. Poor people at least have some hope. I get more money and then I will become happy. Rich people don't have this hope. They have money, they have not become happy. So, because they think that I'll get more money and more money and more money and then I will fulfill my desires and I'll become happy. But this is not the way to become happy. And these desires are unlimited. And when the people try to follow some spiritual practice, it means they have to control the desires. They have to reduce the desires. But how you can do this? It's in the same way like little sparrow is trying to dry up the ocean. It's not possible. Not possible. You try to do it, you know. You try to really conquer one desire. But there's 10 more waiting for you. Desires of Kama in Ramayana are illustrated by Ravana. Ravana is basically the manifestation of lust, Kama. And you know, Ravana had 10 heads. You know, and you cut one head, and another head, it's already there. You know, you cut one head, two more heads are there, three more heads are there. The same thing with desires within a heart. You try to conquer one desire, 10 more are there. You try to conquer this 10 more, 100 is there. You try to conquer this 100, 1,000 is there. It just doesn't work. It's very, very difficult. But Krishna gives us the hint here how to really achieve success on the path of spiritual practice, on the path of sadhana. The only way to achieve success is to become determined. Determination is the key, because as in this little fable is explained, when you're determined, you basically show to Krishna that you're sincere. It's not that you yourself will conquer over anything. We're helpless. The principle of bhakti yoga, the first step of bhakti yoga is surrender. And surrender, when you're surrendering, you can only surrender if you feel that you're helpless. If you feel that you're strong, will you surrender? No. You're strong. Why should you surrender? If you have this ahankar, very strong false ego, that I can do it, I will make it, then, you know, you will not make it. You will not surrender. So the first point of bhakti yoga is to surrender, and surrender means to feel helpless. But at the same time, it seems like contradiction. With the surrendering spirit, with the spirit of helplessness and dependence on God, you have to develop determination, because determination is an indication from your side that you want to achieve the goal. And if you show this determination with the spirit of dependence on God, then God will help you. This little story in Puranas is explaining that when this sparrow was trying to dry up the ocean, you know, it was taking little drops of the ocean and looking if the ocean became less or not. It became less. It became less. So she was doing this, and everyone, all the sparrows, they were laughing at her. Look at her. Look how foolish she is. Look how foolish she is. But then Narada Muni heard about this. Narada Muni, we know he is an original spiritual master. He is the spiritual master of bhakti. He is teaching us bhakti. So he came and he started looking. And he saw this little sparrow, and he saw that everyone is laughing at her. And he also started laughing. Sometimes spiritual master, he has to put a test. And he said, "Are you fool? Why are you doing this? What's your hope? How you can do this?" And the sparrow said, "Get out of here. Don't stand on my way. I will do it because anyway, what else should I do? I lost my little ass." She had this goal very strongly established within her heart. She knew I need it. She knew that there is no life without achieving this goal. And therefore she said, "I have to do it." And then when Narada Muni saw her determination, he became compassionate. And he said, "Okay, now I see you're sincere." Because our sincerity is measured by our ability to see the goal. Sometimes people ask, what is sincerity? How shall I understand if I'm sincere or not? Sincerity means I see the goal and I pursue the goal. So when this little sparrow was trying this, Narada Muni went to Garuda, and Narada Muni said, you know, a little relative of yours is taking this impossible task. Can you help her? And Garuda said, of course I will help. And he came to the bank of the ocean, to the shore of the ocean, and he said, my dear ocean, you want me to dry you up? I can do it in no time. I'll just splash my wings and you will dry up. You want me to do it? Ocean said, no, no. So, and the point Prabhupada is making very clearly here, there's this beautiful saying that God helps those who help themselves. Ultimately, we have to understand it's not us by our endeavor achieve success. It's God. He gives us the success. He is the doer. He gives us the result. From the very beginning, Krishna establishes this point that you are not the cause of the results of your action. He says, you should act, but you should not depend on, you should not think that you are the cause of the result. I am the cause of the result. But still you have to do it. Still you have to really sincerely try to achieve the goal. Clearly see the goal. And if you do it, then you will achieve it. No matter how difficult or impossible it may seem. This is a very important principle, that we should see the goal and pursue the goal no matter what. We have an ocean of desires. We have so many weaknesses. We are so feeble. We are so really weak. And this world is so horrible. And so many temptations are there. Still, we have to be determined. And then Krishna will help. Krishna will give his help at the end. And we have to be sure that ultimately success depends on him. And it means that, you know, what can we do? We can only try. And Krishna is there to make sure that we achieve success. Sometimes people don't understand this principle. Sometimes people are trying to speculate and trying to pursue in so many other directions and things like this. But actually, the only point of spiritual practice is to be determined. And if you do it, you will achieve success. It's guaranteed. Recently I heard a little nice story about Prabhupada. Prabhupada was giving lecture and then he stopped the lecture, as I will do it in a couple of minutes. And he said, please ask the questions, but I want relevant questions. And one lady was there and she was really eager, some middle-aged lady. And she said, Swamiji, can you tell me who I was in my past life? And Swamiji said, Prabhupada said, yes, I can tell you, but this is not a relevant question. And he just brushed her away. And somebody asked some question, but this lady was really determined. She said, Swamiji, can you tell me who I was in my past life? This is not good. And then for a third time she asked, Swamiji, can you tell me who I was in my past life? And Prabhupada said, yes, I can tell you, you were nonsense. Because when people, why should you look back? Why should you ask this completely irrelevant question, who I was in my past life? I know I was nonsense. You don't have to, you know, it's a universal answer to all these questions. You were nonsense. We were doing all kinds of nonsense. And we were doing all kinds of different pursuits, trying to achieve this, or trying to achieve that. But spiritual life means you don't look back. Spiritual life means you look forward. To see the goal means to look forward. And to be determined means to see the goal all the time. To understand that this is the goal. This is the solution for all my problems. If I don't make the solution for all my problems, then what is the use? And if I have this attitude alone is enough for us to make sure that we will achieve success. So this is the point of this beautiful verse and principle which Prabhupada teaches us, that God helps those who help themselves. We can help ourselves by being determined. And this determination will involve the mercy and saving grace of the Lord. So this is little lesson for today. And you can meditate about this lesson for the rest of your life. Because this is the most important lesson. Sometimes we become impatient or say, my success is not coming, I'm changing 2 weeks already. Why Krishna is not coming to me? You may chant for 200 years. At one point Krishna will come, but only He knows when He will come. But He will come for sure if you manifest this amazing and very important quality of determination or perseverance. So this is my little talk today. It's already late. So thank you very much. I don't know if there is any time for questions or not. I can actually, why I was inspired to speak on this verse, because on the way I was speaking about our problems in Moscow. Last time when I was here I was showing my slideshow how difficult it is. And it is difficult, it's more than a notion. To overcome the problems in Moscow, it's probably the biggest ocean which is there. So many obstacles, and Russian government is so difficult, and Christian church is there, and they don't want anyone else there. So many problems are there. But we're determined and Krishna helps us. Now the government finally gave us 5 acres of land for free to build Hare Krishna temple there. First temple in Russia. This is how it works. This principle works in every sphere of our life. So it is the proof that this works. Is there any questions or not? To increase our determination, we have to associate with those who have determination. And also, to increase our determination, we have to see the goal very clearly, and seeing the goal is coming from the books. Prabhupada's books are very powerful, because they establish very firmly this goal within the heart. You know, when you read Prabhupada's books, it becomes crystal clear for you that this is the goal. And everything else is just a waste of time. I recently met with one devotee, and he told me his story. He was a 14 years old boy. He's a big man. He works in the government now in South Africa. He's some assistant to the president, you know, really rich, very successful gentleman. He was 14 years old boy, and he was a fanatical Christian. He was really, really, really into it. He was preaching Bible, he was going to different, you know, hostels, and he was really, really preaching Bible. He was Hindu. He's from India originally, but he became Christian, and very fanatical Christian. As sometimes Indians, when they become converted into Christianity, they become really fanatical sometimes. So he was like this. He was 14 years old, and once he was walking along the street, and he saw the Harinam party, and people were chanting this Mridangas, and he thought, oh, this is my chance to save them. He thought, now I will save them. He had Bible with him, and he wanted to come and tell them that this is the right path. So he came, he approached, and there was one devotee, and he gave him Bible, and he said, this is Jesus says. He says, yes, I know. But here is the book for you. Can you please read this book? And he promised to him, yes, I will read this book. And he gave him the signs of self-realization. This boy, who was really determined to convert everyone into Christianity, he read this book in one gulp, non-stop, few hours, you know, he couldn't put it aside. And he thought to himself, this book answered all my questions which I couldn't find answers. This one book. He said, next day he went to Hare Krishna temple and became Hare Krishna devotee. Just from reading this one book. Because this one book made everything clear, you know. It makes complete sense to him. And it established very clearly what is the goal of life, who is he, what is his relationship with Krishna, what he should do in life. And this is what it is. So if you want to have your determination, you have to associate with those who have determination, and you have to read Prabhupada's books. They are the greatest source of determination for millions of people around the world. Okay? And if you will do this regularly, reading Prabhupada's books, you will have all your doubts clear. You will have those. Okay. There is no more question.
If we can continue more about the immunity of Prasad and his work, we are so.
I have to continue for about 15 minutes. Okay. So now it depends on you. You ask questions. No, Sparrow didn't ask Krishna for help. Sparrow, in this particular case, Sparrow was just determined, and the determination, see how it works in this story, Prabhupada omits a part of this story because there is an important role of Narada Muni in this story. Sparrow was determined to do it, Narada Muni came, and Narada Muni is a manifestation of the pure devotee. And, you know, we can get mercy of Krishna through the mercy of a devotee. So when Narada Muni saw this little sparrow, he was so moved. He was really moved. He was touched by her determination. And he said, okay, you take my blessing. And when the blessing was there, everything else was just a matter of time. Garuda came. So this is how it is. It's not, we may not even directly ask for the help of Krishna, but if we try to do something, especially if we're trying to please a devotee of Krishna, then he will give his blessings, and when he gives his blessings, Krishna will feel obliged to help. He is actually obliged. This is also a very important principle. When a devotee, he's a wholesaler. He gets bhakti from Krishna with the wholesale price, and he retails it to all of us. So this is actually, in this particular case, this is the role of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada got a wholesale contract with Krishna. He signed the contract. You give me this bhakti in a bulk quantity and I will sell it to everyone else at the retail price. So this is how it works. If we try to do something for Prabhupada sincerely, if we try to please a pure devotee, then in exchange of this, people attempt to please him, he will give us his mercy, and when he gives the mercy, Krishna will give the mercy. For us, what can we do? We can only try to do something little. You know, we are useless, helpless, we are really unqualified to anything. You know, we are unqualified. But qualification is given by the mercy of pure devotee in response to our little desire to help. Like Prabhupada, once he was giving lecture in the beginning in New York in Bowery, when they had this little storefront, and he was giving a lecture, there were a few people listening to him, and one drunkard came, and he was really drunk. It was low class area. There were a lot of drunkards and drug addicts and so many other people, low class people. So this drunkard came there. And then he went through the storefront, and there was a little thing there, and he put in front of this little thing one roll of the toilet paper. He said, "This is my offering to you." And Prabhupada said, "This is the beginning of his spiritual life." He gave this little roll of toilet paper, which is a useless thing because devotees don't use toilet paper anyway. But he wanted to do something, and because he wanted to do something sincerely, Prabhupada gave his blessings. And blessings of a pure devotee is a very powerful thing. So the same thing with us. We may be unqualified, but whatever little we can give, we should give. And you know, when we give little to Krishna, he has a big magnifying glass. We give him very little, and he looks through the magnifying glass, and he's very happy. And because this is the nature of Krishna, of this pure devotee. Okay.
What is the importance of Ekadashi and why it is
the importance of what?
Ekadashi, fasting.
Oh, importance of Ekadashi.
And
Ekadashi.
What is the reason for it?
Oh.
Therefore, tomorrow
is Ekadashi. Ekadashi is called Upavas. And I just spoke with our Ayurvedic doctor in our Ayurvedic center, in a nice center. Very nice Ayurvedic doctor. He said that he quoted Sanskrit verse which says that that fasting is the best medicine. There is no better medicine than fasting. So you can talk about the benefit of Ekadashi on a different level. Like in the Vedas, there is this system of understanding Vedas on three different levels. If we speak about the benefits or the importance of Ekadashi, there are three different levels of this understanding. One is called Adibhautika level, which is physical level. So on the Adibhautika level, Ekadashi is important because it's the purification of the body, it's the purification of the mind, and because it is a day where when digestion is very slow. Ekadashi, the moon at that point becomes dim. It's the 11th phase of the moon, and it's noticed by the seers of the past that at this day moon is very weak, somehow or other, by some reasons. And the 11th phase of the moon, the light of the moon becomes dim. And this dim moon means very slow digestion. Slow digestion means if you eat something heavy, it will produce poison, and poison will poison your physical system, poison your mind. So this is one level of understanding of Ekadashi on the Adibhautika level, on the physical level. Then there is Adidaivika level. Adidaivika level is the subtle energy level. Adidaivika means, Daiva means devas who more or less control this universe through different energies. And on this level, the importance of Ekadashi is that that again there is this subtle energies in working, and this subtle energies, if you fast on this particular day, then the subtle energy will help to purify your system and your mind. In a very efficient way, and basically that, you know, that there is also some kind of, there are so many explanations of Ekadasi, of the benefits of Ekadasi on this level, on an adhidaivika level, when the moon is there and everything. And then there is a adhyatmika level, a spiritual level of understanding. And spiritual level is very simple. Ekadasi is called Harivasaram. Harivasaram means the day of Lord Hari. It is explained that if you want to please some particular deity, or if you want to increase the power of this particular deity upon you, you should fast on the day of this deity. Because when you eat, your energy is more or less consumed into this gross world. And the most subtle energy, which is being given to you on this particular day, cannot be utilized properly. Like, for example, this is astrological principle. If you want to please a particular graha, you should fast on the day of this particular planet. And in this way, you maximize the subtle or good influence of this graha or this planet upon your body, because your energy is not consumed in this process. So, on the adhidaivika level, on a spiritual level, the Ekadasi is the day of Lord Hari, of Krishna. And if you fast on this day, it basically means that you please Krishna. According to this similar principle, this is the day where Krishna is particularly should be present. And therefore, Ekadasi or fasting in Sanskrit is called Upavas. Upavas basically means that you sit closer to God. Because vas means to sit or to be, to exist. And upa means to exist closer. So basically, Ekadasi means that we try to minimize our material activity, out of which taking food is the most prominent, so to speak. Because this is really daily kind of ritual which gives us a lot of enjoyment and we consume a lot of energy. So basically the principle of Ekadasi is that we minimize our material activity to a reasonable level by minimizing our food intake, by our sleep, by all kinds of material activities, you know, sleeping, eating, mating, defending. We really make it as less as possible and use all our energy to think about Lord Hari. And in this way, because this is a special day where His presence is very prominent, it gives us boost in our bhakti. So, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Madhava Tithi Bhakati Janani. If you follow Madhava Tithi, or if you follow certain lunar days which are devoted to Lord Madhava, then Bhakati Janani, the result of this is that bhakti will be born in your heart. It's the mother of our bhakti. So, on different levels, you will get benefit. On a physical level, you get special benefit if you fast on this day. On a more subtle, energetic level, you will get a special benefit if you fast on this day. Your mind will become more clear, your system will be very nicely purified, and on a spiritual level you will get bhakti. So this is all universal benefit of fasting from the goddess.
How is the position of the moon, that is waxing moon and waning moon?
Actually, the tithis, according to astrology, waxing and waning, they have the same meaning, so to speak. If it's Navami, Navami has the same kind of energetic essence. In waxing and waning moon, the only difference is that in waning moon it's weaker, and in waxing moon it's stronger. So basically Ekadasi is both on waxing and waning moon, because the meaning is the same, but the effect when the moon is increasing is bigger than the same effect of the Ekadasi on the dark side, on the dark part of the mind. So on a Shukla Paksha, you will have very strong effect of fasting on Ekadasi. On Krishna Paksha, you will have weaker effect on certain levels. But I don't think it refers to bhakti. Bhakti.
This word is Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj ki jai.